Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Charlotte, North Carolina's Alexander Pettis spent a lot of his professional music years as the lead singer of a North Carolina area supergroup, Remy Sinclair. A few years ago, after some challenging life experiences, he penned several songs that became a collection for his new album, How the West Was Once. Alex joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his life as an artist and his experience in creating this new album. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. I think we're both on the East Coast for a change. I talk to people all over the country and even outside the borders, and lots of times we're dealing with time differences. But I think you're in, I'm in Virginia and you're in Charlotte, maybe? Carolina, North Carolina somewhere?
Yeah, I'm right outside of Charlotte.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Is that home? Has that been home your whole life?
Yeah, I lived in Los Angeles for about 5 years, and then moved back a couple years ago.
Okay. When did the music bug start for you?
My mother has always been a really good singer, and then my family's always been fairly musical, and so it's just kind of how I was kind of brought up and raised. You know, family gatherings and stuff, there was usually several guitars being passed around, so yeah.
So did you go to school for music? Was it a hobby for most of your life, or where did the whole, hey, this might be something I can work with and make a career out of?
Yeah. Well, jury's still out on the career part, but I started in high school, really trying to write my own stuff, and then, you know, played around town and all that kind of thing, and then went to film school actually in Savannah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, Savannah College of Art and Design. And then from there kind of left and, you know, did some film stuff. But mostly just kind of, fell into this band, and had the opportunity to be able to tour with them for a while. And we played up and down the East Coast, and then, some out in Los Angeles, and then, met my now ex-wife, and then we moved out to Los Angeles for a period of time, and then fortunately that didn't last, so we decided to I picked up and moved back with my daughter.
Okay.
So
the band started before any sort of solo projects, I presume?
It was kind of a solo project. It started out that way. And then I didn't really want to call it anything. I didn't really want to use my own name. So we kind of came up with something. And then everybody kind of, as we got to know, we went and searched for a band. And as we found some really, really good players in and around Charlotte, we all kind of became very close. And then we just kind of, you know, decided to really make it more of a band than a solo type project. Which I was thankful for, because it was very nice to have their input on a lot of the different songs.
Sure,
stuff.
Yeah. Was that also in kind of the Americana folk genre?
Later on, it did. It was mostly kind of a early version of Greta Van Fleet. I don't know if you've heard that band.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure.
So more like Led Zeppelin, Doors, you know, 70s,
yeah, cool.
Rock and roll, kind of thing.
Where did the influence come for you for the style of music that you're playing now, which I presume is more on the Americana side? That was what I gathered from listening to some of your music.
Yeah, so I've always been a big fan of more of the, you know, the 2000s indie stuff, which was, you know, heavily Americana and folk based. I've always been a big fan of Bob Dylan. I was always a big fan of, you know, beat writers and stuff, you know, Kerouac, of course, Ginsberg. And then, you know, so that kind of following, you know, that whole, those guys, it kind of leads you to certain people, like Townes Van Zandt.
Sure.
And then, you know, and I just, for some reason, that music always seems to, at the end of the day, if I'm sitting, you know, outside or like on a porch or something like that, those are always the songs that I turn on because they're the ones that usually like I connect with more. They make me feel, you know, better about the day that I just had, I guess.
Yeah. When did the songwriting bug kick in for you?
Or
was there a catalyst for it?
It really wasn't a catalyst. It was mostly because I wasn't a very good guitar player. and I would get frustrated trying to play other people's music. So I was like, well, you know, I'll try to write my own stuff and maybe doing that, I'll be able to, it'll drive me to learn more about music and then take those kind of lessons that I learn and hopefully get better at playing other people's stuff. and then it just kind of stuck. I've always been more of a writer than say maybe a musician. You know, as far as, you know, I've written screenplays and stuff and, I've written two books and several poems, over the years, but, yeah, so it's always been like more writing forward. And I guess going back to your you know, the Americana bug kind of question, why I picked that genre is it's very story based, you know, that type of older country western Americana folk. It's very story based. Sometimes it's topical, sometimes it's not. But it's always been kind of about the human condition, and I've always been kind of drawn to more about song about the human condition so much than just say, you know, I want to sing about X, Y, and Z because that's what's making money right now.
Right. Yeah. Americana music is so much more authentic than a lot of the pop genres, whether it's pop country or pop.
Yes.
Top 40 or pop, whatever. It's a lot of that feels canned, where Americana is very, very story oriented.
Very free flowing and raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the rawness of it, I guess. You know, it makes me feel like more like you're in the room, I guess, as they're recording it, you know, because a lot of the time, you know, they try to get that, you know, where it sounds like they're recording it outside, but they're, you know, they might be, but they're probably not.
Right.
But I always like that type of aspect of it.
Yeah. So we kind of joked around a few minutes ago. Is this something you've been able to do full time?
No, I guess when I was doing the band, there was a point where we were able to do it full time for a period. A lot of those members though were older. They had kids of their own and stuff. So they couldn't tour, which, you know, kind of doing the schedule that we were starting to do, they couldn't really do it having children at the time. I didn't have any kids. So we started having to like, try to like sub people out, and then it kind of messed with the dynamic that we had. You know, because somebody, you know, they, you know, it's almost like a thumbprint how they kind of play. It's like, yeah, it might be the same 4/4 time, but somebody might, you know, do it a little bit, you know, differently than somebody else. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So eventually we just decided to kind of part ways and stuff, especially after I got married and found out that we had to move to Los Angeles. So
are you able to stay in the range of the industry with your other ventures, your day job, so to speak? Is it along the creative lines?
Yeah. I do a lot of, you know, I started this other, this, I guess the solo project now, but, kind of coming back around because I have more free time. I do a lot of painting and art and artwork and stuff.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So I do shows for that and make and sell paintings and there was a couple of catalysts for me to kind of get back into writing and music, and then I forgot how much I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, it was like visiting an old friend after a long time.
So yeah. I was very happy. And I think I read that you've done some voiceover work, acting as well, right?
I did. I started doing all of that when I was about 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
And my family was, they were in the video, distribution business for a long time. So they used to, all the VHS tapes that you used to buy, like in the 90s and stuff.
Right.
They would produce.
Oh, okay.
They produced for like Warner Brothers and Universal and all those guys. And then they started making like their own kind of, family friendly films. And then I would audition for those and stuff. And sometimes I would get it and sometimes I wouldn't.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's cool. Well, does that, did that experience aid you in your pursuit of music? Did that help in the pursuing a life of creativity?
Yeah, it definitely did, because I was around a lot of creative people all the time, and a lot of the time that they were, you know, they were older people. So I wasn't really around a whole lot. I'm also an only child, so I wasn't around a whole lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we were constantly traveling. So, just kind of being a part, I guess, of the entertainment industry as a whole, and kind of seeing the ins and outs of how it works.
Yeah.
And spending more time with people that were older in years and what I thought was much wiser than myself, and being able to listen to their conversations, I think, kind of helped maybe bring me along as far as like life lessons, then a little bit, maybe some other people, and in some ways it's great. And then, like with everything, you have a little bit of good and a little bit of bad.
Sure, yeah.
And in between, there's a story somewhere.
Or stories, right?
or stories. So
fast forward to the summer. I think June, released a new album. Would this be your debut album, or was there other recordings prior to this?
This would be, I guess, other than the other stuff that I did the old band was called Remy St. Clair. This is the first thing I've done probably in, I think we stopped that in like 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the first thing that I've put out in 10 years.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's under a completely new type of, new moniker, new sounds. So I would say it's probably more of like a debut kind of thing.
All right. And How the West Was Once, how did we come of that name?
Yeah. So it's kind of a long story, but when I moved out, I used to go out to Los Angeles all the time with my family, cause they would be working and stuff.
Right.
Los Angeles was kind of like a second home growing up. And then, just kind of like the West in general, the Western United States. And then once I got married, I found out that my wife at the time, her job was moving her out there. So I had, I went with her, back to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately it didn't work out. And a lot of the songs are kind of, they're a little bit about, there's some elements of that, and they're not all about that, but there are some elements of it. I guess How the West Was Once was, it's now different. Once you've lived in a place with someone and you spend a bunch of time with that person,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it was before, those memories are there, and they're very, and they always mean something. They always, have a deep rooted place in you. But after the fact, you can't help but go back to that place and have those memories,
Right.
So it's it's kind of a take on that. You know, it's kind of like now everything is going to be different from now on. So,
and the songs that you've included on that album are these songs you've collected over a period of years, or did you sit down and put this album together with that theme in mind?
They were, some of them were songs that I would, you know, I kind of mess around with over a period of years. And then, you know, after I got divorced and moved back, I kind of dusted off the old notebook, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, started reworking a lot of them, very, vigorously. And, so I would probably say that they all kind of were written in the last 4 years, from about 2018 on.
And out this June, what kind of feedback have you been getting with from your fan base? Do you how has it landed for you?
Everybody seems to like it. I think that they, you know, some of the old you know, fans that I've been able to keep over the last 10 years, they were kind of surprised at it, but then, you know, they've come around to it. They do like, because, you know, it was a full band before, whereas on this album it's pretty much just me.
Oh, okay.
You know, and there's some band stuff in there. You know, there's one song called The Story of Buddy Lee that's got more of a full band sound. And that's a little bit of a throwback to the Remy St. Clair days, that song is. But it's mostly just stripped down type stuff. You know, pretty raw, and, you know, maybe one or two, three instruments at the most. But everybody, all the new people, they really like it. You know, they like some of the feedback is that it's been, you know, these songs have been, I think one person, their comment was, it feels like a warm hug at the end of the day.
Oh, cool.
when I listened to this song.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Yeah. So, and that was a nice comment. I thought that was really, really great.
So what's your method for sharing these with your fan base? Are you out and playing? Have you been able to tour with it? What does that look like for you?
I haven't been able to. I have two kids at home, so it's really tough for me to kind of go on the road and leave them, because they're pretty young. But, you know, I'm kind of an impatient person. I probably should have waited to put this album out. But it was more of a kind of like, you know, cover your eyes and, you know, and press the, you know, the inner key kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm supposed to play some this summer and play some shows with some friends. I'm trying to book it where it's only on the weekends and
right.
stuff. So, like, I don't miss anything, you know, during the week, and I can be here as much as possible.
What's ahead? Do you or how far are you thinking ahead? New music, new album, what do you what's in the works?
I've got a I'm actually supposed to go tomorrow and drop off some artwork at an exhibit here in Charlotte, which opens on March 8th at the Charlotte Art League.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also working on another album. I didn't really expect to do a whole another album, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had a pretty good positive, you know, result with this one. So, and I don't know, I kind of without even really thinking about it, it was, you know, sometimes songs, they just kind of happen.
Right.
And they just started happening again. So I just, I'm trying to capture it as fast as I can.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What comes of it, you know, comes of it. But, you know, I can't really say that there's any type of, you know, master plan here. I'm just kind of stumbling through it a little bit.
But you're working with fairly new material for you then on this next project.
The next project will be all new songs.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm about eight songs in. There's probably going to be 10. So I'm hoping to do two more, so hopefully it won't take too long before it comes out. But I'm working with Ben Bowden. He did the I can't remember if it was the mixing or what, but he did that on Conor Oberst's Ruminations album from 2016.
Sure, okay.
Out of Omaha, so I've been talking with him about because right now it's all just sketches.
Yeah.
So we're talking to him about coming in, hopefully producing it.
Yeah,
and helping me out.
That's awesome.
Somebody that knows what they're doing.
So what method of communication do you prefer? How do you like for your fans to reach out and chat with you? What's the best way for them to get a hold of the album and kind of get in line for the next one that's on the way?
Yeah, I'm not big on social media, and I don't have a website, although and I've been told that that's a bad thing.
Well, it might be a good way to have a landing space anyway.
Yeah, I think we're going to put up a website here shortly, within the next couple of weeks or so. I think that was the decision that was made, was that we at least need a website. Yeah. So I'm just not a big like social media person anymore. It takes too much time out of the day. I feel like, because when you open up your phone and you automatically go to these social apps, and I'm like, okay, that can't be good. So I've been trying to like put the phone down a lot more.
Yeah.
Be more present. But yeah, I think we got a website. It should be ahpettis.com.
Okay.
So if they want to go there and shoot me an email or something.
And the album is on all the streaming services?
The album is on all the streaming services, and we are about to, I'm talking to two vinyl companies out of Asheville, North Carolina, where we're going to release a limited run of the vinyl LP.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I don't have the 100%, I don't have like 100% like release date on that yet, but if they want to go and check the website and stuff, we'll have all the information there whenever it's about to get released.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. Well, thank you, Alex. It's cool getting a chance to talk to you and hear about your story, and wish you well with the remaining time on this current project, and looking forward to hearing what you have in store in the future for this next one as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely. Best of luck to you. Have a good summer.
You as well. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.